Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
The Back Room with DJ Paddy, playing the best new indie, alternative, electronic, rock and punk.
Driving around this city, on the streets I look pretty, where it takes an hour to drive a mile, but that's just how it goes. The sun is out, we're winning, and it feels like the beginning of a day that couldn't give us more, even if it had to try.
Good evening, Sheffield Live 93.7. This is The Back Room. Every Thursday night, 6 till 7, playing the best new indie alternative electronic rock and punk. It's sunny out there, it's lovely. Sherlock's kicking off their new album, Everything Must Make Sense, forthcoming, and that is Everything Must Make Sense from the album. Got a packed show for you tonight. My special guest tonight will be indie singer-songwriter Tom Bright. I'm going to be chatting to him about his new single, Temptress, and forthcoming album and his musical journey. And I'm also going to be talking to Helena and Paul from Four. They're a Birmingham indie two-piece, and playing tracks from them from their new EP2. Got music news, got national gig guide and local gig guide, new album releases, but very exciting to have these back. They are Wet Leg. This is new from their forthcoming album Moisturizer. This is Catch Those Fists.
Live.
Hey, this is Chris and Les and Jake, and you are listening to Sheffield Live.
Yes!
New music on the Back Room. Future Sounds.
Hello? Are you out there? Are you trying? Are you patient? Are you me against me? Don't know me at all. Hello, hello. We'll be right back.
This is the back room. This is Sheffield Live. That Youngblood, new from him. Hello, Heaven. Hello. Let's talk about my guests then. They are called Fall. They're from Birmingham. They're an indie two-piece. It's Helen and Paul. I'm going to play this. Flowers Through the Concrete EP is out tomorrow. This is Surge. So good evening. Welcome forward to the show, Helen and Paul. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Paddy. Yeah, doing really well. Thanks.
I'm good.
How about you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, I'm good. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. To talk about your new music. Firstly, where did you guys meet? How did it all start? Were there other bands before this band? Where did that journey kind of start?
So we've been playing together for about 5 years now, and we've known each other for a little longer, but it took us a while to start playing music together, because I was in another band. I didn't have a lot of time. You did play guitar, but hadn't been playing
for about a decade.
Hadn't been playing. So Paul was rusty.
Still am.
Still am bad. I don't believe that.
But it just kind of, it ended up that I had a little bit more time. Like, my other band was... It was COVID. Yeah. In my other band, we lived miles apart and couldn't play. Mm. And turns out that Paul and I lived together, and so we could play together. And so we started playing.
Yeah, we kind of, I think it was around the first time that I ever visited Sheffield. Helena was like, come to see the place that I went to uni and all that kind of stuff. And we were just already starting to think about music. And obviously Sheffield has amazing musical legacy. I think it was just like almost like we just started kind of around that time just playing around with stuff, and we recorded a demo for Edging, which is like a song we ever wrote, basically. It's just got there. It felt like a successful union of our like creative ideas. And so, yeah, we keep kind of trying to finesse that and we'll find new iterations of it.
Yeah. It's always quite vulnerable making music with someone that you already know. I feel like personally it's easier to make music with people you don't know and have it. So already knowing you is, I don't know, I felt like it.
Wait, how can you make music with someone you don't know?
Like, just like, you know, people that you find, you know, randoms that you find on the internet to join your band.
Right.
You know, okay. Previously have like...
There's no like dynamic already.
Yeah, they're not already friends or anything.
You have to work out the dynamic again, don't you? Like, who's the bossy one?
That's cool.
Yeah, I was just about to ask that question, but you've already answered it. But
I'm the bossy one. Guilty as charged.
But yeah, there's something about having that connection, isn't there, already, and being able to kind of play music and connect in that way. Do you guys agree on stuff then a lot? Do you agree with the kind of way that the music kind of goes, and or do you have a few dilemmas about it?
Like, you know, like the way that because we already knew each other, it was that same thing. It was like we would just jam, and there'd be like that moment where we were just kind of playing around with an idea, no lyrics or anything at this point, just the kind of the feeling encompassed in sound, and we just kind of look at each other and be like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
And so like then we're like, oh god, let's record it quickly before we, you know. And so it's always one of these things, like we both have to have that feeling almost, but Helena is the ultimate judge. Like I'll you're like the quality control expert.
That's great.
Like I'll write something and I'm like, this is amazing, and you're like, it sounds like a sea shanty, and I'm like, nothing wrong with that, but definitely
sea shanties were popular not so long ago, Paul.
They were, yeah, and I'm still trying to fly that flag, Paddy. But you know, so like Helena will be like the quality control, and so like that's really, yeah, it has to pass your
my discerning taste.
That's it.
So you've got your self-released EP, Flowers Through the Concrete. It's coming out this Friday. And a great track. The track that I've been playing on the show, I've been playing a couple of tracks, Reckless and Surge. And just amazing tracks, guys. Just tell me about what was it like to make the EP? And, you know, what... And there's a lot of stuff around kind of power and justice in there, and stuff about kind of taking that back, which also it seems so relevant in these times.
Yeah, like I feel like we were saying before, like we kind of just write the music first and it's often a feeling. And then that kind of dictates roughly where the lyric goes. And like when we're writing the lyric, usually it's something like, what is a problem that we're working through right now, or something that's on our mind, and that's like your starting point. And so, yeah, I guess it just kind of its moment while we were writing it, but also we didn't want it to be something that was a flash in the pan as well. So often we ended up with these themes that are kind of almost timeless, sadly, that are about, you know, mismanagement of power and those kinds of things, and the mistreatment of people that really just need a leg up and a helping hand, really, rather than you know, like this kind of abusive almost treatment of people that are already struggling.
But one thing to point out is that you're absolutely right, Paddy, nail on the head. There's like some really good themes about power and injustice, but hopefully what comes through as well is the positivity behind it. Like we're not going, oh, this is awful, blah, 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 how terrible is life? Because life is terrible. But, you know, what we want to do is try and make those things a bit, not necessarily lighter, but bearable. Like, let's have, like, Surge. It's like an action song, like,
yes,
Reckless, let's just go crazy, you know. It's all positive. It's all good. Good vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. And it sounds that. And yeah, like, you know, there's always going to be stuff going on in life. And I think music just, you know, has always kind of talked about this stuff. And actually, but yeah, let's use the music to feel better as well. And, you know, And I think,
which is what it does so well. Like, music is, for me, it's like this like solve, you know, it really like it even if it's just for like 2 or 3 minutes, it kind of transports you away from something that you maybe is bothering you. Or I mean, I often find that I listen to different types of music depending on how I'm feeling. Just you know, it almost like speaks to you. It's like an arm reaching out from beyond the Spotify algorithm and making you feel like you're not alone. So like, yeah, like we try and do that and find, yeah, like Helena says, that silver lining often in those moments.
Yeah, and absolutely. What kind of music you guys listen to at the moment? What's kind of what you're connecting with?
Oh, that's a good question.
Anything inspiring at the moment? I mean, there's a lot out there, isn't there? But
so much great stuff out there.
I guess that, like, we've just been played at a festival called Crow Crow Land, and there were so many bands that were inspiring that we hadn't even heard of. Some that we had, some that we hadn't heard of.
Yeah.
A band that I really liked, it was called Scrounge.
Okay, great name.
Brilliant name.
Really great name. Yeah, they're amazing. When we were recording the EP, we were listening to quite a lot of bands like Viagra Boys and like Proto Martyr. So you probably hear some of those influences maybe in the
Amel
work.
Amel and the Sniffers.
Amel and the Sniffers, I think they just dropped a new album or something at the time. So that's the kind of stuff that you may be able to hear in some of the songs.
Something we're trying to copy, but definitely.
And you've had Adrian Hall involved producing with you, haven't you? Like, and who's been involved with bands like Depeche Mode, Tori Amos, Nova Twins, bands like that. What was it like working with him?
Oh, he's just the best.
He's amazing.
He's just the best. Yeah. He's like, I'd like to think he's a mate now. I don't know if he'd agree. Hopefully he would.
He hasn't talked to us since. Definitely.
He's there when you need him. He's there when you need him.
We definitely will work with him again. So he's got like years and years of industry experience from across genres, big time, small time. And you can tell at his heart, he just loves music. Like you know, he's not in it for his ego. He's not in it for the payday. He just does it because he loves it and he's really good at it. And he's really helped shape the songs. We came in there with some demos and we've come out with fully fledged songs that you love and we love.
It made it more process as well. Like I'm probably my happiest when I'm in the studio. Like it's this amazing, because especially if you go in there prepared and you have like an idea of what you're doing already, like just see these things that are kind of ideas, but they're not like complete on their own, just to see them kind of growing in that space. I mean, there'd be moments where he'd just sit with all of the stuff, this elements that we tracked during the day, and then just you'd see it. It's almost like watching somebody tie shoelaces. It's like, it's so rewarding just to hear him like do all of these magical things. And then suddenly you hear this song just taking shape and it's magic.
It's magic.
And that's it. That's all it has to be, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Magic. So you were back on, you played London a few days ago. Yes. What's it like to be back on the stage and you know, what is the kind of the future plans really for touring this year?
Oh, getting back on the stage was so great. We hadn't played live for a little while and we certainly hadn't played our new songs yet. So we had to figure out how to do that first. We did that. And it was, always so energising to be back up there. The song's got such a great reception.
Yeah.
Paul's got two massive bruises on his knees. Because he's sliding around.
I thought I could do a knee slide when wearing shorts. And, you know, it was one of those momentary things where it just seemed like a great idea at the time.
Yeah, but there was no carpet on the stage, though, I guess.
No. I wasn't even on the stage at the time. I jumped down.
Really? Okay, so you went really raw.
Yeah.
Very exciting, which is good. We need the energy. But we've got... we've got... only one gig officially planned in, but we are starting to book dates. Nothing we can share yet, but we are starting to book dates for an autumn tour.
October.
Around October time. So we'll try and get up to Sheffield.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
I used to live in Sheffield and it's just the best city and I can't wait to come back.
Yeah.
Which venues do you remember?
Oh, the Leadmill is legendary.
Of course,
I'm so glad that's still going.
It's a bit controversial. You probably followed that, but in terms of the name and the people who are owning it and things like that.
Okay. I don't think I'm up to speed.
It's been a bit tricky, but it's kind of the heritage of the Leadmill's been 45 years now, so it's a lot of most bands and have performed on that stage. But yeah, loads of great venues for you to kind of perform.
We will also be looking at the less divisive venues in that case.
Less divisive venues are there. They're here too. Ones that haven't been around as long as 45 years, you know.
Right.
And what's the plan? Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so yeah, it's really exciting putting together like our first headline tour, basically. We can't wait. We can't wait like share all of these new tracks, because we're also hopefully going to be recording something else in the middle of this year that, again, is a little bit up in the air. But that's the idea, is like kind of basically that will be on the back of some new music as well. Newer music.
Yeah. Okay, so more recording, potentially a tour as well. Yeah. So much to look forward to. It seems like a very exciting year for you guys.
We're like chomping at the bit, really. It's one of those things where like we just it took us a while to get the momentum and stuff, but now that we're kind of going, we don't really want to let it drop.
Well, you've got the drive, you've got the tunes, you've got it. So
guys, Surge has to become a thing, right? Surge has to become like something we actually do.
Exactly. It will do. I'm pretty sure. Helena Paul from Fort, thanks so much for talking to me on the show tonight. It's been a pleasure to have you on. Good luck with everything that you do this year. And yeah, your music's great. Great to talk to you.
Great.
Thanks Paddy. It's been an absolute
thanks
joy.
So much.
Cheers.
The Back Room with DJ Paddy, playing the best new indie, alternative, electronic, rock and punk. New music on The Back Room. Future Sound.
It's a sanctuary here under the stars.
Atlas Rivers, new one from them, Here Comes Morning. Loving that. Thanks to Forth and their new EP, Flowers Through the Concrete, comes out tomorrow. It's amazing. Go and check it out, and go and check them out when they play live. Okay, let's do some music news. So, Fontaines DC, they've revealed the full lineup for the huge show at London Finsbury Park this summer. The Dublin's band outdoor gig in the capital will take place on Saturday, July the 5th, marking the biggest headline performance to date. They've got some amazing special guests. They've got Amel and the Sniffers. They've got Kneecap joining them. They've got Blonde Shell, Bean Stella and Cardinals. So that will be a fine gig. The Sex Pistols have dedicated their latest concert to Blondie drummer Clem Burke. On Monday, Blondie's Debbie Harry and Chris Dino announced the drummer had died at the age of 70 after a battle with cancer. Following the news, the Sex Pistols, who are currently on tour with gallows singer Frank Carter, paid tribute to Burke during the show in Sydney, Australia on Tuesday. He said, a credible drummer who sadly passed away, so tonight is for Clem and for our friendship. That's the music news. Still coming up, got local national gig guide, new album releases, and I'm going to talk into indie singer-songwriter Tom Bright and playing his new record, Temptress. But this is new from Magnetic Skies, and it's called A Place on Earth. Magnetic Skies, A Place on Earth. It's 6:35. You listen to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. This is The Backroom every Thursday night, 6 to 7, playing the best in new indie, alternative, rock, electronic and punk. And it's time for my next guest. He's a very talented singer-songwriter. He's called Tom Bright. He's got three albums under his belt already, and he's now done an early collection of songs. And one of those is called Temptress. Going to play this. I'll be chatting to him straight after. I'm going through without you, love the walls
So, a warm welcome to Tom Bright. Welcome to the back room on Sheffield Live. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm all right. Yeah, I'm feeling good. It's been a nice. It feels like springtime, so it feels like it's sunny every day at the moment. So, exactly. While we're on air, yeah. So you just firstly, you've been a little bit of a tour in Germany. How's that been going?
It's been all good. It's always good to be back out there. I've got these kind of pockets of fans all over Europe, really, because years and years ago I used to book all my own European tours. I'd go over there a couple of times a year, so France, Holland, Germany,
yeah,
all over. I'm kind of making regular visits, and I was in Germany this weekend, and then I'm going to Holland tomorrow, it's just around a lot at the moment.
Do you find that find those audiences a little bit different to the UK audiences? Do they differ a bit?
I'm from here, and I'm from the middle of England, and what the really great thing about like Germany and the Netherlands in particular is they've got a really good grasp of the English language. So I think that's why I go down well, because they do follow a lot of my songs are all very lyrical, so they follow what I'm saying, as opposed to kind of, you know, Southern European, a bit more difficult, really.
I understand that. I've done a few gigs in the Netherlands and in Germany myself, and it's they love the English stuff. They connect really, really, really well with that. So,
but if there's something that we do well, it's music. It's in our blood. We are the best exporters of songs, right? So, you know, we have to.
I would absolutely agree, and that's not being biased. That's just true.
It's fact. It's fact.
It's just true. Tom, you've got a great new single called Temptress, and it's from a forthcoming album called Young Old Bloke, which is actually an early collection of songs. Yep. You've got Mick Jones from The Clash, Big Audio Dynamite there. You've got Glenn Matlock from The Sex Pistols on the record. Yep. How has this all come about, and where did you meet those guys? How did those guys come on board? How did that kind of journey begin?
So I'm going to take you back to the very start of my career.
Brilliant.
And this is where it all began, really. I was fresh off the National Express, working as a waiter on Spitalfields in East London.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of, you know, new to London, getting myself out and about. And and a mate of Mick Jones's was frequenting the place that I was making coffee in. And he started taking me down to Mick's studio. It was very obvious that I was a budding singer-songwriter, and they started listening to what I was doing and my voice and blah, blah, blah. Mm. And they were making this TV show at the time. It was called Rotten Hill TV. Julian Temple was directing it, and they wanted me to do a cover of Ooh La La by The Faces. It was all filmed in a boxing ring outside Mick Jones's studio. Glenn Matlock was on bass for me. And it was all filmed. It was all like, it was a crazy, crazy day. And we went from there, basically. The next thing, it's 2015. Mick flew me out to Venice. To La Biennale di Venezia, where all his rock and roll public libraries, memorabilia. We performed in Vivaldi's courtyard. It was crazy, another bizarre experience. And got back from there and started working on a record, which is this record, which was always intended to be my first album. And yeah, and it didn't basically become my first act. We got it all done and dusted, and the music industry was a little bit kind of cruel on me, and I basically wasn't able to release this album.
Okay, yeah.
Now, so I kind of just refigured everything out that I was doing. I stripped it all back to me and the guitar and started again, really. Did three albums with Mark Court. All recordings back, which Mick is absolutely delighted about. We remastered them at Abbey Road last year, and yeah, finally the world can hear what I was doing it 10 years ago.
It's an amazing story, really. And I love the title, young old bloke. I think it's a fine title.
It's a very layered title. It's so, because they were my early songs. Young old bloke means a lot of things. It's me, how I felt after being a pub landlord. I was a pub landlord when I was 18 till I was 20.
I'm not even thinking you were the youngest pub landlord.
Yeah, yeah.
I read that somewhere, that you were the youngest pub landlord in the country.
Yeah, yeah. So when I came out of the pub game, you know, that was it. I felt like a young old bloke.
Right.
That's one of the meanings of that title.
Okay.
Second is, you know, when I was working with these absolute legends on this record, you realise that Mick and Glenn and Gary, who is Dirty White, and all these, they're all just young old blokes as well. You know, we're all young old blokes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And young old bloke abbreviates to YOB. Some people have clocked it.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it just works. It works so well. I wondered, like, some of you, like, your inspiration for, you know, being a pub landlord at 18. Again, the maybe like the characters who probably coming in your pub, and were you just kind of just observing what was going on, and maybe some of the conversations that were going on, and getting to your songs. I think, you know, I've heard a lot of your stuff, and I can hear it in there, and it's like, it's a fascinating what place to be, I think, to get inspiration from just the pub.
And you know, in a lot of my stuff is just kind of like observing the ordinary, really, and kind of it all happens in a boozer, and you know, we are people, right? So we are, you never know what kind of a story is going on behind someone's eyes, and it's such a, from those days, it's such a fascination for me. I just love people, person, love being with people. I'm interested in people's lives and the places that we come from and the things that we all see. And that is the pub, right? The public house.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, the pub will never die. I don't think it can change into theme pubs and all that kind of stuff, but the actual traditional kind of thing, I don't think will ever go away. Well, not in Sheffield anyway, that's for sure.
No, not in Derbyshire either.
You know, no, I'm originally from Derbyshire, so I am.
Where are you from?
Originally from, I lived in Swanwick a lot of my life. You know there?
Yeah, I'm from Little Eaton, so...
Yeah.
Blimey.
I've been in Sheffield a long time, but that's our geography. We're not so far away.
Unbelievable. You're a Derby County fan?
No. I'm one of those minorities that doesn't do football that much.
Oh, right, okay. I thought you were about to say you're a Forest fan.
No, it's neither.
Okay, that's
basically
fine.
Like, yeah, you know, no cliche here, but music's my football.
All right, cool. I mean, I'm one of them guys that kind of, my heart's split in two, and I wish I wasn't a football fan, because I'd have a lot more fun in my life, I think.
Well, I think I can't cope with the losses, Tom. I think.
Yeah, it's it.
It's emotionally too hard.
I support Derby County in England. It's just like a life of just disappointment in football.
Yeah, Yeah, so I think if I was a football fan, I think I'd be one of those glory chasers, which is a great way to be a football fan, is it?
Well, they had the better idea.
Well, where were we going? Football, music, that's it. back to my football. Yeah, brilliant. The single Tempter, I mean, it's a rocking record. It's a really great record, and very quite different to, you know, the late, because this is the early stuff, which is later, and then so it's a bit of a switch round. What's it like, kind of? Do you play when you play live? Do you just like go through kind of a big kind of over the years a big selection of different stuff?
Now the gigs are just kind of like a big deep dive through my catalogue, really. It's you know, there's a big story that gets pieced together, and it's great now, you know, being able to play these tunes and play them in a more stripped back way, because I write everything on the guitar, and you know, right there you've got that big in your face production and ballsy energy, and that's the way Mick and Gary, they wanted us to do everything, really. It's mostly it was live energy, and then, you know, the overdubs over it, but just capturing that rawness and early days, I always had my band with me. It was Tom Bright and the Dynamite and those kit songs all around. And but now it's mostly me and my little Peugeot and my guitar in the back seats. And yeah, we go all over, mate. And
awesome. Is it you still using the same guitar that's signed by Johnny and John? Johnny Marr and John Squire. You've got a guitar signed by both. I mean, that's a guitar you'd use, right?
Yeah, Three Kings. you know, I've had some people say, "Oh, you shouldn't play this. You should put it on a wall, frame it up." No, what's the point in that? Come on, it's given me a marvelous journey, that guitar.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I understand it. I wouldn't put it away either. I'd be like, it would be out there. So a bit of a kind of European tour. I know you played Sheffield only last month, actually, down at Cafe Number 9 with Ed Cozens, who's played with Revan and the Makers, one of Sheffield's finest. So what's the plan after here and with the album and kind of future dates? What's the plan for the year, Tom?
Well, Holland this weekend, and then back to France for a few gigs in May, and then some UK stuff. I've got a gig up in Northumberland at Earth Arts Centre on Saturday the 24th of May, and then I'm doing Oslo in Hackney in London.
Yeah.
On the 31st of May, I got a rather big festival announcement for the summer, which my lips are sealed at the minute, but it's a huge festival, and it's going to be a wonderful honour to be on the bill, so keep your tabs peeled on that.
Will do.
My agent is putting a big tour together at the moment. For October, November. So there will be a Sheffield visit in there.
Awesome.
Not too much, but what I will say is Saturday the 11th of October. So just Sheffield, get it in your diary. I can't say where. This album comes out on the 2nd of May. I think that night I'm on with John Kennedy, Radio X, going to play.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Strip back, actually, on air, and just keep doing the do, mate.
I think it's brilliant, Tom. I think, you know, and absolutely deserved. You know, and there's a lot of plaudits for you. You know, people, you know, John Kennedy, Guy Garvey from Elbow, the other people. You know, there's, you know, people are really, really getting it. You know, people in the music scene have been there for a long time. And they understand what you're about, and they love it, and I love it. I think it's great. And so I wish you all the best for this year. I look forward to the Sheffield gig. I put the date in my diary, and the listeners, you know, when we know, get the tickets. Have a great year, Tom. Thanks so much for talking to me on the show tonight.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Cheers.
Yeah, this is Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. We've got time for a couple more tracks. Thanks to Tom there. Let's do some gigs. Local and national gig day. So, in Sheffield this week, Attila the Stockbrokers at the Hallamshire tonight, John Mouse at Sydney Matilda, tomorrow Creeping Jeans at the Hallamshire Hotel, and then on to Saturday, you got Fleetwood back at the Foundry, you got Baby Boards at the Hallamshire Hotel, you've got the Shredder Festival down at Pedlar Market on Saturday, Sick Joy, Tropic Gold, Grey Wave, and a lot more, The Audit Cafe Number 9 on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, the Sinelli Brothers at Greystone. Some tours that have been announced. The Amazons have announced October 21st, kicking off in Bristol, going to Southampton, Newcastle, Manchester, Nottingham, Stoke, Birmingham, Leeds and Glasgow. Those tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10. Everything about with a tour. They've just come off tour with the Wombats. Glasgow Barrowlands, 27th of November, kicks off there. Leeds Academy, 28th. Then on to Manchester, Nottingham, Newcastle, Bristol and Birmingham. Those tickets go on sale at 10 tomorrow. And Bell X1 are back. They've announced an acoustic gig at the Union Chapel in London on the 19th of December. And those tickets go on sale also at 10 o'clock tomorrow. Okay, a couple more tracks. This is Hannah Rose Platt. Young men need their wives.
You lit the light like a brand new suit, tailored to fit whoever sits in front of you. They don't see the scene that you show me, exquisite, bespoke kind of cruelty.
For Hannah Rose Platt. That's it for me tonight. Thanks for my guest four and Tom Bright. Thanks to those guys. New albums out tomorrow. New one from Bon Iver, Sable Fable and Roy Scott. True Electric from them and the Driver Era have a new album called Obsession. Going to play out tonight with a Parisian duo. They are called Kids Return and it's called Teenage Dreams. I'll see you next week. Have a good sunny evening.